Number two.
I'm going to try to rush tonight just a little bit, but I do want to give you what I felt the Lord put on my heart. I know we're having dinner after church tonight. Well, if you're from the South, we have supper. And we have breakfast, and we have lunch, and we have supper. I don't know what dinner is, amen? But anyway, we are having food tonight, and I hope you'll stay and eat with us. I know it's going to be good. My wife fixed a hash brown casserole and a squash casserole and a vegetable casserole. So I'm casseroling tonight, amen? 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let me reiterate what Levi said about joining the choir. If you're interested in the choir, come Sunday at 5 o'clock for choir practice, Jerry Bailey. I just thought I'd throw that in. Amen. Choir is not in the balcony. It's in this balcony. Amen. What a blessing. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to look at one verse of Scripture tonight and share a thought with you. When I was a kid, and even on up as a teenager, I have always been intrigued by, and I think probably every boy is to some extent, but I've always been intrigued by and interested in our military. How many of you men interested? Like war movies? The rest of you are sissies, amen? I love the Green Berets, and I love the movie about Midway, and I just love the American hero type deal. I always wanted to be a soldier, and while I was in high school, I thought that I would join the Army, and matter of fact, long story short, it was the hand of God's what it was. I just didn't realize it. But I had already signed up, Brother Greg, and was set up to take my test, my entrance exam. And Sister Angie and I had broken up. We were childhood sweethearts. And the week before that I was supposed to take that test, Sister Angie and I got back together. And I could not leave the love of my life. So anyway, little did I know what God's plan was to put me into another army. And the day I got saved, little did I know I was enrolling in the greatest army that has ever lived. If you're saved tonight, whether you realize it or not, you are a soldier in the army of God. You understand that? Let me say it again. You are a soldier in the army of God. Do you remember the movie Sergeant York? Old Sergeant York got old Alvin C. York got saved and got drafted into the wars, World War II, and he thought because of the Bible said, "Thou shalt not kill," he was going to be a non-combatant. I believe that's what they called that. And I believe we're living in a day where we've got a lot of non-combatant Christians. Let me say it again. We're living in a day where we've got a lot of non-combatant Christians. You're in the army for the benefits, and that's it. One kid told me one day, I was preaching in a church somewhere, and he said, "Pray for me, I'm going in the Air Force." I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, I'm going for the education." Now, the education is a side benefit of our military. The reason for joining the armed forces should be, Brother Broderick said to kill, that's right, it should be to defend this great nation. We're living in a day when our government is looking at our military like it's just a passing thing. Amen? And I'm telling you what, we better put our mind back on that and put our resources back in that, or somebody's going to wipe us off the face of this planet. That ain't got anything to do with the message tonight, but I want to talk to you as a soldier in God's army tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good," say it with me, "soldier of Jesus Christ." A couple of things about soldiers tonight, and we'll go eat hash brown casserole. I want you to notice, yes, amen right there, boys. I want you to notice, first of all, they won't hear another thing I say. They got hash brown casserole on the brain, and I'm right there with you. Run out there and guard it for us. You don't have to know, I'm kidding. I want you to notice, first of all, if you want to write these down, number one, I want you to note the soldier's task. The soldier's task. Hey, listen, when we got saved, we have a task at hand. Would you agree with that? We have a job to do. Some think they were called to see it, but I want to tell you tonight, that's not so. We were called to serve. Amen. We have some that, like Miss Peggy, she's not a spring chicken anymore, and she's by no means an old lady either. I mean, she's right in the prime of adulthood there. But she's past going and doing like a lot of people can. But I tell you what she does. Every day she lifts that little hand up like this right here, and she prays for her preacher. Wherever I'm at, I'm Travis. She'll call Granny Faye, and she'll say, "Where's Eddie at this week? I'll be in Arkansas tomorrow night, Brother Kurt Howard." You lift that little hand and say, "God, touch my crazy preacher. Use him one more time." Amen. Hey, she realized she still has a place in the army of God. There is no retirement. Our retirement is out of this world. The soldier's task, here's what a soldier does. Number one, they follow. They follow. The very first thing they teach you in basic training is to follow instruction. Is that right, Brother Greg? I mean, they'll ask you to do stupid stuff that don't even make any sense, just to teach you to obey. The Bible said to obey is better than sacrifice. Hey, our job as Christians in God's army is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told the disciples, he told Simon Peter and him, he said, "Follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men." Hey, you want to catch men? Follow me. You want to make a difference in somebody's life? Follow me. Hey, you're not going to change lives following this or following that, following this ism and this schism. But if we'll line up behind the Lord Jesus Christ and go wherever he leads and do whatever he says. Amen. I said this, I preached a series of messages a while back, maybe a year or so ago, on the Ten Commandments. And I said in that introduction to that series of messages, I said it's Ten Commandments, not Ten Suggestions. Amen. It's Ten Commandments. Hey, why would the Ten Commandments cause trouble in a courthouse? Seriously. I mean, think about it. It's basically the laws of our land. Thou shalt not kill. I think it's thou shalt not have no other gods before me. I think that will not bother them a little bit. And thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That probably bothers them a little bit too. Amen. But our job as a soldier is to follow. Man, I'm telling you, if you could take those Ten Commandments and just live by them, and have Christ in your heart, you'd do all right. Amen. Those Levites, those Levitical priests, man, them guys had something like 101 rules they had to live by every day. I couldn't even memorize all of them, could you? Sure enough, couldn't live up to it. But God said, "Hey, here's 10 things. Stay in line with these 10 things, you do all right." Amen. Our job is to follow him. Our job is to follow his word. Amen. Hey, preaching ought not bother you. Amen. Somebody preaches on sin and it's a sin you're committing. I can jump on that Facebook bandwagon for about 5 seconds and shut half y'all down. Amen. Gossip's gossip, friend. I don't care where it's on the phone, telephone, telegraph, telefriend, whatever. I don't care where it's at. It's still wrong. Amen. Hey, our job is to follow God's word, and sometimes God's word comes through God's man. I'm not a dictator, but I am a preacher. Amen. Amen. I am going to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hey, if it rubs us the wrong way, there's a good indication there's an area in your life that needs work. Amen. I preached on husbands and wives in here the other night, and it got quiet. Stacy was the only one hollering amen because he's single. He's like, "Amen, brother." Hey, man, preaching's supposed to help us. Amen. Our task is to follow, but not only that, our task is to fight. Our task is not only to follow, but to fight. Somebody said, "Oh, but we're supposed to be peace lovers." We are peace lovers, but we're supposed to stand up for what's right. The Bible said, "Earnestly contend for the faith." Earnestly contend, that's a fighting word. Yes, sir. Amen. Earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. Hey, we gonna have, if this King James Bible is going to stand, we're going to have to stand for it. Amen. Do you understand that?
You say, yeah, well, that's a little old-fashioned. I know it. And we're going to stay that way. Somebody might come in here one day and say, now, a better word would be. Now, if there's a better word, God would have put it in there. Amen. Amen. We've got the only book that ain't out for money. Yeah. Rest of them are copyrighted. Amen. That King James text has no copyright. Now, I'm not going to go into all the defense of the King James Bible, but there are 6,000 words in here that are supposed to be. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hey, we're going to have to fight for it. You'd blow your mind how many people got up and walked out that door while I was preaching. Because I said, that's the Word of God. It ain't a mistake in it. I'm going to tell you something else I won't allow. I'm not going to allow some preacher, even in camp meeting, to get up here and correct this book with some Greek that he don't even know what he's talking about. Amen. Hey, there comes a time we got to follow Christ, but then we got to stand up for what's right. We're living in a day when church is supposed to be this thing, just come one and come all, and we want that. Don't get me wrong, we're not turning anybody away. We don't care how they're dressed, what they're wearing, how long their hair is, all that stuff. But we don't care, we want them to come. But it's not this thing, just come and believe whatever you want to believe. No, we're going to line up with this book right here. Or do our best to do so. I know when I compare myself to it, I come up short every time. And so do you if you're honest. But at least we got the right intentions and our hearts are right and we're going in the right direction. Amen. Our task is to follow the Lord, but then our task is to fight. Amen. To stand up for what's right. Yes, we have a family in our church whose son is homosexual. Once in a blue moon, the son comes. And his partner. And they'll sit right here. You say, you'd let somebody like that sit in church? Yeah, I'll let you, don't. It's just another sin. Y'all don't die on me now. It's just another sin. I'm not making light of it. I'm just saying it's just another sin. You know what that dad will do every time he knows they're going to be here? He'll stop by my office before church starts. He'll say, they're going to be here today. Do not dodge it. That's what his own dad says. They're going to be here today. Do not dodge it. Amen. What he's saying is, preacher, don't be afraid to mention that being a sin just because my boy's here and he's living that lifestyle. Amen. That ought to be the attitude. Amen. Amen. I remember one time in the old building, I was preaching a message and I said something about abortion being murder. I didn't get enough amens right there. I said something about abortion being murder. Somebody came up to me after service, all tore up and said, oh, Brother Andy, don't you know so-and-so's had an abortion? And I went to her. I said, hey, I hope I didn't offend you. She said, hey, I hope you could hear me hollering amen. She said, I of all people want them to hear that. Amen. She wasn't offended. She was encouraged by it. Amen. Hey, sometimes we just got to take a stand on some issues. Amen. It won't be popular. But I'd rather line up with him than them. Amen. Our job as Christians is to follow, and then sometimes it's to fight. I don't like to fight. I don't even like controversy. I can't stand it. I can't stand it, but we're not going to change. And we're not going to change this book. It's still the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, far as I'm concerned. Amen. We're going to have to fight for what is right. I'm gonna fight for that old hymn book, Brother Charles, as long as I got breath in my body. Amen. It'll be a cold day before there's a band up here. Yeah. Amen. Something's wrong when you go to church and they hand you earplugs at the door. Amen. This ain't AC/DC up here, and I ain't Angus Young. Are y'all listening? One of our people went to, y'all, most of y'all know what church I'm talking about. They went there because something was going on with their family. The guy came back to church Sunday night and handed me this little plastic package. He said, that's what you get when you go in the door over there. I said, what is that? He said, it's foam earplugs. I said, what was it like? He said, brother, it was a good concert. That's what he said. I run into an old guy we went to school with a while back. I said, man, are you going to church anywhere? He said, well, we didn't grow up in church. He said, I did go a while back, and we went to this place, and he said for about 45 minutes, an hour, they had a rock concert. He said, and then this guy come out and talked to us for about 10 minutes. He said, I don't know what he said, and we went home. He said, I told my wife, that just didn't seem like church, did it? Amen. Amen. I like it. They're trying to build churches now where they don't look like a church. Yeah. They don't want it to look churchy. I want it churchy. Yeah. Amen. I like a steeple on top. Yeah. Amen. I like the white columns out front. I like pews. Yeah. It ain't in the Bible, but when you see it, it says church. Yeah. I like a choir loft. Amen. I like songbooks sitting in the back of the pews. Amen. I like an altar down here where people come and weep and bring their burdens before God. Hey, there's going to come a day that you're either going to stand with me or you're going to run, because we're going to have to fight every bit of that stuff. Amen. We're going to have to stand up and fight every bit of that stuff right there. Thank God we live. We live. I had a burden and not a whole lot of follow through, and I think it's because of timing to do a citywide revival campaign. And me and Brother Swofford talked about it down here at Fullerville, and he was on board, and Brother Shea Talent, and he was on board, and Brother Steve called me the other day, and he said, you ain't going to believe this. I said, what? He said, I just run into the mayor. He said, you ain't going to believe what he asked me. I said, what? He said, Brother Swofford, you reckon you and Brother Eddie and some of these other preachers in town might put together a citywide revival? That's what the mayor wanted to know. I said, what'd you say? Steve said, I think we might could do something. Amen. What a blessing. The soldier's task is to follow and to fight. Secondly, and I'm going to hurry, the soldier's not only his task, but his training. The soldier's training. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Amen. We've got too many idiot Christians. And I don't mean that derogatory. I just mean ignorant, unlearned. They don't know. The average deacon in a Baptist church couldn't give you three verses on eternal security. Amen. I had an old preacher one time chew me out because I had coon dog puppies for sale. He said it's a sin, it's abomination for God. And I thought, dear Lord, man, I didn't know that. I said, go home and give all my puppies away. I had some high dollar dogs. He said, yeah, it's in Leviticus, blah, blah. I got home, got to dig and find out. That wasn't talking about dogs at all. I'm serious hard at that. It wasn't talking about dogs at all. It's talking about homosexuality. I didn't correct him out of respect. I just didn't say a word. He said, you sell them puppies? I said, yep. I asked forgiveness, but I sold them puppies. Amen. Listen, man, we ought to learn some things. The first thing we ought to learn when we get saved is discipline. Amen. Let me say it again. The first thing we ought to learn when we get saved is some discipline. Before they ever teach a soldier to shoot a rifle, they teach him some discipline. They teach him to obey. We're living in a world that doesn't teach any discipline to children anymore. We've had one of our ladies had to quit her job in the public school because the kids were literally running over her and she had no recourse. That's pitiful. Amen. That's pitiful. You put your child in my care, he's going to obey me. Or tote one. Amen. Levi's a grown man now, but if when Levi was a boy, if I had something pressing and had to go somewhere, and I said, Brother Freddie, would you watch Levi for a little while? Well, if Levi went to cussing him, I expect him to jack his jaws. Amen. Amen. Now everything's the teacher's fault. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Hey, brother, I grew up when everybody had permission to whoop me. Man, I'll never forget. I went and spent a night with Roger Bush. When we grew up in each other's house, and first time I spent a night, we got in a big wrestling match. Me and him and his brother Norman all sleeping in the same bed. We got wet. I mean, we was Dusty Rhodes and wrestling number two. Y'all don't remember them, do you? But we was Dusty Rhodes and wrestling number two. And boy, we was a fighting in that bed. Ain't Bonnie come in there? She said, y'all boys, lay down, go sleep. I mean, boy, she chewed us out. She said, if I have to tell you again, you're getting a whooping. Well, she went back to bed and it got quiet. We got to fighting again. Here she come, boys. She flipped that light on. She reached in the toy box and pulled out an orange Hot Wheels track. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you something. You don't want no Hot Wheels track. She grabbed Roger and went to thrashing him. I'm talking about letting him have it good. And I was laying over there going, she said, what are you laughing at, boy? You next. Yeah. She meant business, too. She snatched me up and striped me. Well, I'm still scared. I don't even play with Hot Wheels no more. Amen. Discipline. Discipline. Our training. We need to learn discipline. You know what it takes to read this Bible? Discipline. Do you know most of the time when I read this Bible, it ain't because I'm just craving it? I eat Lay's tater chips because I crave them. I'm going to eat that hash brown casserole. Ain't nobody going to have to force me. And if y'all get out there ahead of me and that gets gone, it ain't going to be pretty. But most of the time when I read that, I have to make myself do it. Why is it the two most important things you do in your Christian life, you have to make yourself do? Pray and read your Bible. If you've got a good prayer life, that's a good sign you've got some discipline about you.
Amen.
Amen. If you read your Bible every day, that's a good sign you have some discipline about you. Our training is discipline. Dedication. Oh, God, give us dedicated people. I love people that you can't run off.
Amen.
That's my favorite kind of church member. You can't make them mad. If you do something they don't like, they love the Lord more than they love you, so they're staying.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. I like dedicated people. It kills me so many times people come and say, well, this is God has led us here. 6 months later, God's leading us somewhere else. 6 months later, God's leading them somewhere. God getting too much credit.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Sometimes I think when people join the church, I think we ought to do the marriage vows. For better or worse. Amen. You might catch us on better and want to be apart. Stick around. It gets worse. We have good days and bad days like anybody. Amen. Dedication, man. Hey, make up your mind. You're dedicated to your job and you don't like it.
You're right, preacher. Amen.
Yeah, but I get a paycheck. Oh, you're going to get one too. Man, those that'll stay dedicated, we'll talk about it in a few minutes. There's a payday coming.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Our training is discipline, dedication, and denial. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I'll be honest with you. As a Christian, that's my toughest job. I can deny Brother Rusty all day long. I can. If Brother Rusty come and said, man, I need to lose weight, can you help me? Yeah, buddy, I can help you. I don't have a problem not feeding you. As long as you don't have a problem watching me eat. How many of you have ever fasted? Be honest. That's going without food. Nothing but water. I fasted. You know how hard that is? I can go, I do it all the time. I'll go all day and don't eat. Then I get a bad headache and it tells me, eat, you idiot. But boy, if I'm on a fast, I wake up, everything smells like sausage biscuits. Everything I smell, I get in my truck, smells like gravy in here. Amen, that flesh will scream all day long, feed me, feed me, feed me. Amen. Do you know most of the new versions took fasting completely out of the Bible? Why? Why? Just weakened the Christian. Took something out of our arsenal. When them boys couldn't cast them devils out, they come to the Lord and he said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer. Most of them versions stop it right there. He said, and fasting. The soldier's task, the soldier's training. But thank God the soldier has some tools. Thank God he has given us some tools. Tools. We have spiritual tools to destroy the attacks of Satan. Spiritual tools. Look here. That's a spiritual tool right there. Prayer is a spiritual tool. It's a weapon. Our prayer is like a scud missile. We can shoot down some of the fiery darts of the wicked. So many of God's people have the right tools, but they don't use them. Amen? We've got spiritual tools. Ephesians chapter number 6, we got some special tools. We got those tools that'll protect us. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, having your loins girded about with truth, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, that whole armor of God thing there that we ought to make sure we have on every single day. Spiritual tools, special tools, successful tools. Successful tools. Can I just tell you, and I'm going to move on, prayer works. It works, man. I love it when Jason Crow gets a prayer answered. I see Jason Crow on my phone, and I hold it out about right here and go, "What's up?" Because I know he's going to blow my head off. "Hey, you ain't going to believe it, man. I was praying." And he'll go on for about 30 minutes. I'll hang up, and my wife say, "What do you say? What do you say?" I say, "I don't know. It's good, though." I ain't got a clue what he said, but God did something. God answers. Do you pray specifically? Or do you just pray in general? We serve a God of the details. Man, we ought to pray specifically. Did I tell you prayer still works? Brother Tommy, will it take care of a daughter eat up with cancer? Will it get a grandbaby here who ain't supposed to exist? And I'm telling you, man. Will it get a man out of a coma, Brother Anthony, and have him walking on his own 2 feet again? Brother, you can't tell me. The doctors, in both cases, the doctors were confounded. Jesus has always done that. He's always blown the doctors away. Amen. They looked at Brother Anthony and said, it don't look good. 15 bleeds on his brain. I don't know. He ain't going to make it. There he sits. Somebody said, "Has he lost anything mentally?" No, he was goofy before he fell. Amen. Amen. No, seriously, he's just same as he was. Amen. What a blessing, man. The soul, we've got some tools. Listen, but then just as sure as you enlist in this thing, you'll find out that the soldier will be tested. You will be tried. Amen. Physical testing. I don't want to overstep my bounds, but I was talking to Brother Don before church, him and Miss Candace, and they had prayed about maybe going out west and helping Brother Caleb. I said, "You got any direction?" He said, "I'll be honest with you, brother." He said, "Since we got home from that trip," he said, "it's been one thing after the other." And I thought, it's about normal. That's about normal. Oh, as long as you're just going to sit there and never do nothing, you won't face much opposition. You won't see much trial. You won't see much trouble. Did you make up your mind you're going to get in this thing?
Yes, sir.
And you're going to do something for the cause of Christ? Hell is knocking at your door. The devil will wake up with you in the morning. If you make up your mind, "I'm going to go on Project 101 and help knock on doors Tuesday night," you know what's going to happen between now and Tuesday? You're going to have every excuse and every reason why you shouldn't go. And he'll give you legitimate ones. Won't he do it? Amen. You got to make up your mind, by the grace of God, I'm going anyway. There'll be physical testing. There'll be mental testing. That's where the devil likes to mess with you right there, is in your mind. Oh, he'll tell you Sunday school teachers, "You're not helping anybody. Why don't you just quit? You preacher boys, you get up and preach a message." I tell you what, Wednesday night down in Pensacola, Florida, I preached a message. I struggled with it all day long. Y'all remember a few Sundays ago I preached that message, "Has God Failed to Live Up to Your Expectation?" And it sure ain't a revival meeting message, but buddy, God, was burning on my heart. I couldn't get out of it. And I got up and I preached that thing. I felt like a whoop dog. Three men stopped me before I got out of there and said God changed their life with that message. Brother Philip Faulkner's brother-in-law and his sister, they go to that church down in Pensacola. His brother-in-law, he told me tonight, said, "My brother-in-law said that's the best message you ever heard you preach." But you see, the devil will tell you something different. I sat down that night and I thought, well, that's it. Brother McGee, he'll never have me back. I just made a mess out of that. That's what the devil will do. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying keep on. Don't listen to snake talk. Just keep pressing on. Amen? Well, I messed up. Well, try again next time. If you bomb, just think about it. Ain't no way to go but up. Amen. The soldier's task, his training, his tools, his testing. I'll give you this when I'm done. The soldier's triumph. There is victory for the soldier of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, I've read the back of the book and we win. The Bible said in Revelation that the devil had came down having great wrath, for he knoweth he hath but a short time. He knows he's done for. I'm on the winning side. It, regardless of who goes in the White House next, I'm still on the winning side. Regardless whether or not the government shuts down, I'm on the winning side. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, we are on the winning side. Paul said he closed out his life this way. He said, I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. That sounds like he's bragging, but he's not. He's just stating a fact. I would like to end my race and be able to look up at my wife and my children and say, I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. Some of you, if your life ended right now, you couldn't say that because you ain't got into battle yet. To fight a good fight, you got to cross enemy lines. I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. Now, boy, what a testimony that'd be. In other words, what Paul is saying is, I fought a good fight and I finished my job. I did what I was supposed to do. Wow. What a way to end that thing. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He said, I kept the faith. Now, you know, that wouldn't take much for me and you to say that. But man, we're talking about one who'd been in prison, beat with many stripes, shipwrecked. All for the cause of Christ. He said, in all that, I kept the faith. I imagine he's thinking as he's laying there in his dying days, I imagine he's thinking, Brother Freddie, I remember one night in the Mamertine prison, in the dungeon, in the low part of the prison, chained, me and old Silas chained together. I remember how we praised God and sang hymns, and God shook that prison loose. I kept the faith. Even in the course of opposition, I kept the faith. It's easy to be faithful when everything's good. But when the devil throws a curveball, I've watched people quit over some of the silliest stuff. Amen. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. But he didn't end right there. He said, henceforth. Henceforth. That's a word that means what I'm fixing to say is all because of what I just said. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. There's going to be a reward. You can't beat serving God. You can't beat living for God. Does it have its battles? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But it also has its victories. I've been after Miss Stacy, and if she don't get after it, I'm going to get after her, sure enough. I've been after her to learn one of Miss McCamey's songs about how the battle is his. And victory is sweet, and victory is mine. The battle is his. Victory is sweet, and victory is mine. There is battles in this fight. But boy, there is some victories. We got to shout about them this morning. Brother Tommy got to shouting, praising God this morning. Probably somebody visiting, sitting there thinking, boy, what's he hollering about? Victory. Victory. Let me say it again, victory. I watched the New York Jets beat by a field goal Tom Brady and that New England bunch. I don't like the New York Jets, but I can't stand Tom Brady. And when they won, that boy kicked that field goal, I didn't see one football Baptist over there going. Amen. No, brother. Yeah. They were cheering, man. Why? It's a victory. Well, we have some victories. We're going to cheer. Amen. A good soldier. Why don't you come ask the Lord tonight to help you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? And that's exactly how he termed it, a good soldier. Boy, how I'd love to have the Lord say to me one day, son, you were a good soldier. Well, I like that. Let's stand to our feet tonight.